In the last couple of months, the world went online nearly overnight, from how you were doing work, connecting with family, dealing with service providers across your life as well, and community. But health had to make that step too. And while a general conversation about a repeat prescription, a pre-surgery chat with a surgical team, that's all pretty straightforward, how did something like rehabilitation, something really hands-on, make that transition? Someone who has helped in this space is Coralie English from the Hunter Medical Research Institute. Good morning.
Hi, Kaya. How are you?
Yeah, so well, thank you. Now, you'd kind of already been looking at this online world when it came to rehab well before we actually truly, truly needed it in this new world that we live in. What, remind us what you'd been doing.
Thanks, Kaya. So, yeah, my team has been really interested in finding telehealth solutions for people, particularly those people living at home after stroke, because telehealth is not just important in response to a pandemic like COVID, where we're trying to reduce infectious disease transmission, but it's also important for equity. And it's important for people who can't get to an exercise class or a rehab service if they live remotely or rurally, but even if they live locally, because telehealth isn't just for those people. For a lot of people, it's very difficult to get out of the house. So being able to offer these sorts of services to people while they're in their own homes, we've always felt is really important.
Yeah. Is there challenges? Because rehab is pretty hands-on.
Absolutely, there are challenges. there are absolutely challenges. But what we have shown in, so my research group has concentrated mostly in recent times around trying to get people more physically active, getting their heart rate up, getting them a little bit fitter in order to help them live a healthy life after stroke. So you can imagine the nervousness about asking people to exercise when there isn't a health professional right next to them. But we've done it. We've found it is quite safe. We've done it with a whole bunch of people now, and we haven't had any issues. Of course, there are always some concerns, particularly in older people where their balance is a little bit unstable, what the risk might be for them to fall over at home. But those risks exist when you're right next to people as well in a rehab setting, and it's about managing those risks. And in my mind, it's about the balance between risk and benefit, and the risk of not being active at home is, in my mind, higher than the smaller risk of injury while you're doing it.
Well, also, it takes away, as you said, that risk of travel, that risk of getting from A to B, that risk of then finding their way around a hospital, which is, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but never an easy task. So
no, absolutely, navigating uneven pathways, getting up and down steps, all of these things. Having said that, though, it's important to remember that all of those things, if you're talking about physical activity, just coming in for an appointment and an exercise session is part of that activity. So we have to think carefully about maybe we need to be doing more with people in their home because they're getting less of that incidental activity by coming in to see us.
How did already having this in the works then help when we did encounter the shutdown that we've just lived through?
So it meant that our particular research program could continue, and we could. A lot of clinical trials had to stop, but our trial that is now running at the moment, that's about supporting people at home to be active after stroke, we could continue. But more importantly, we had some experience that we could share with others. So in response to lots of questions from colleagues and clinicians and other researchers around the place, we put together a whole list of resources that are now housed on the Stroke Foundation's webpage. So if people are interested and go to the Stroke Foundation, there's a webpage called Inform Me, and we created a new section of that that pulled together all the resources that are already out there about how you might do telehealth for people. Because, yes, our teams had some experience, but so many other teams and clinicians and researchers have had experience as well, and in different aspects of rehab, because, of course, it's a very complex area. So we managed to coordinate people sharing that information, which has been really, really important.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the response been to that, to everyone coming together and working in that space together like that? Yeah,
it was huge, because it started with one phone call from a colleague of mine at H&E Health on one day, and within a week we had a page up. And it was me reaching out and then snowballing and other people contacting other people. And it was in a really busy time. It was in the first week or so of lockdown where everybody was scrambling to get their online teaching sorted, work out what they're going to do with their research. But everybody just dropped what they could and squeezed in more time and helped to pull these things together. Out of that, we're already planning to try and bring together health professionals and researchers around Australia to form what we call a community of practice, which is basically a group of people that are sharing and supporting each other in learning in a new area and trying to make sure our efforts are coordinated. But we fast-tracked that as well and put a call out as to who wanted to be involved and who, A, could provide support and needed support. And we've got almost 400 people signed up to that community of practice. Yeah, crazy. And most of them from Australia, about 80% from Australia, but a whole bunch from the UK, from New Zealand, from Germany. I think there's someone from Colombo in there. So it's been, it's shown us what people are willing to do to support each other. Absolutely.
Do you sometimes end up, you think, in your research bubble a little bit, and this is a good reminder that by working together, you know, more can actually be achieved for everyone right around the world?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've been accused, even in my research bubble, of being a serial collaborator.
Oh, dear. So
I do love to work with others. I do love to play with others because I think we can achieve so much more when we work together. And when we go in, if we stay humble in whatever area of expertise we have, there's always more to learn. Mm. And as you say, Kaya, most importantly, you're bringing together people with different degrees of expertise from different perspectives. So we've got, this is a very multidisciplinary community of practice. It is focused on stroke recovery and telehealth, but it's got speech therapists, occupational therapists asking how do you do a home visit when you can't go to someone's home, how do you work with people with language difficulties on telehealth, how do you work with people to get them exercising, how do you work with people to help them to walk, and so on. So it's been really uplifting, actually, and energising to be part of it.
Yeah. Remind us of why it's so important, especially for stroke, which is where you do your work, for that rehab not to stop. Why could it not have gone on hold for a couple of months while we waited this out?
Well, stroke keeps happening. Stroke doesn't stop because there's a global pandemic. And one of the things that's really important, actually, for your listeners to hear as well, is that stroke is an emergency. Hospitals are a safe place to be, and if you're concerned, if you're experiencing any of the symptoms of stroke, which is the fast message, issues with your face, arm, speech, don't forget it's time critical, call an ambulance and get seen. Because concerningly, internationally, we saw a reduction in people presenting to hospital with stroke. And stroke didn't stop. It's just that people were not seeking that care. So that's early on that's really important. I just had to get that message in there as well. But later on, you get most benefit from rehab when it's early. You can certainly make really meaningful gains after stroke in the long term, but the most critical time is the first few months. And we saw people being asked to go home much earlier than we would normally recommend, rehab services not being able to provide the in-person support that they were doing. But these people need that support to help move, to help create that recovery and promote that recovery. So by not doing that, people are not going to reach their potential in their recovery and also have all the negative consequences that all of us have if we don't move our bodies enough.
12 minutes away from 10 o'clock, you're hearing from Professor Coralie English, a stroke researcher at the University of Newcastle and Hunter Medical Research Institute as well. You're on ABC Newcastle Mornings with Kaya Handley. So what does it look like? Take us through. If I was dialing in to you, Coralie, for a rehab session, what does that look like while you're there and I'm here?
Well, it looks very different for different people. But if you're talking about the program that we're currently running, which is about helping people to both move more and eat well after stroke, if you were dialing in to me as a physiotherapist, we would have already had initial conversations about what your goals would be, what you're able to do in terms of your physical function. But then a typical exercise session will be me at my end on the video link and you at home in your area that we've created that's safe for you, doing some activities, doing some exercise, getting your heart rate up, maybe doing some repeated sit to stand, some marches, maybe moving with some light weights and some everyday items at home.
So we go from there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then it's about enjoying that movement, getting the heart rate up, starting to feel the benefits of physical activity.
What's the feedback that you're getting from people who are involved in your trial?
Yeah, so far it's been really positive. We've based this on an earlier trial that we did that had some really positive feedback and high satisfaction from our participants. And it's continuing. People are enjoying it. We are certainly looking for anybody else who's interested, we're recruiting we're asking people who are interested who'd like to be involved, not just from this region, but from all over Australia.
Mm. Because one app is never enough and we need a phone full of them. You're also working on something new. Tell me about iRebound.
So iRebound is actually the trial I was talking about.
Oh, great, perfect. Yes, so it's all involved.
It's all involved, exactly. And the other thing that I think that I'm really proud of about that trial is we spent a lot of time working with people who've had a stroke in asking them, this is what we think and what the evidence tells us will work in terms of getting you healthier after stroke, in terms of what you eat and how much you move. But you tell us what would work for you at home. What would you need to make this program successful? So we've adapted a lot and incorporated all of that important information from the experts, stroke survivors. So I might be the expert researcher, but people who have lived with stroke for a while, they're the experts in their condition. And actually the name of the trial came from them. We called it something else that they didn't like at all. and the name iRebound encapsulated for them the sense of I'm rebounding after this event. I'm getting up back on my feet again.
What comes next for you in all of the work that you're doing?
What comes next? Well, we'd like to see this trial expand and be able to get some really hard data from it. So we're hoping to secure funding to do a much larger trial around Australia in this aspect. And I'd really like to look and help to support the more widespread rollout of telehealth, as we have with these resources, but making sure that continues beyond the pandemic. The pandemic has helped a whole lot of barriers disappear that were there before, but how can we sustain that in the longer term to make sure these services are available for people who need them?
Always great to chat with you, Coralie. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Kaya. Lovely to chat with you too.
Professor Coralie English there, stroke researcher at the University of Newcastle and the Hunter Medical Research Institute, talking you there through some of those telehealth trials that were started well before the COVID-19 pandemic, but became a little more essential as shutdown happened and as you've been living in the last few months.